All right, guys, I'm here with Scott McKay, and we are getting ready to talk about something that I've kind of got a little bit of a fetish, it seems like, about over the last couple weeks, especially when I came out with the new Physique as a Weapon, and how that cued into men actually being able to use sex as a weapon, much like women do. So what we're going to do, Scott and I are going to talk about a little bit about masculinity and how that differs from the way most men do it, and how you can use it and use masculinity and take it farther so you can actually use sex as a weapon as well. So Scott, we've talked about some of this before. What are your views now about masculinity and how guys are working nowadays?
Well, first of all, Brad, thanks for having me here today. It's a joy to be here and looking forward to this discussion. It's a little bit different. So as far as masculinity goes, I think a lot of guys take the word macho and equate it with masculine. And the important thing is, I know you talk about a good bit in your Adonis Effect program, is how women view men, you know, in terms of who they are, their actual being, how they act, what they look like, what they represent, is often very different than how we represent ourselves as men and how we view ourselves. And that kind of plays on how your psyche looks at the world and interprets what we've been told, even since we were growing up. At a very young age, this all starts. I think when guys think masculine, they think, okay, I'm big and strong, I can beat people up, I can do third gear wheelies on motorcycles, I'm a badass, nobody can beat me up, you know, maybe I've got tattoos and, you know, a beard. And women tend to look at things a little bit differently. They tend to think, okay, what's in it for me as a woman? Does this man provide for my needs as a woman? Does he represent what would complete me in terms of that kind of yin-yang kind of thing that the Eastern guys talk about? But in terms of, you know, just masculinity and femininity being, you know, completed by each other. And that's just how women talk. That's how women think. And what that all comes down to is, okay, is this a man who has a plan? Is this a man who can provide a safe environment for me and potential children that may come along? Would he be a good father to children? Can he provide? And it isn't so much that she's a gold digger or she's seeking to do nothing with the rest of her life. She's just seeking a man who has leadership ability such that she can provide her gifts as a woman and be freed up to be a woman in that context. And ironically, sometimes when guys are kind of meatheads or they're kind of this jerk kind of guy who nobody can really predict, it's not so much that men are in demand by women when they're a bad guy, which is what a lot of times guys tend to think. It's that, you know, women, when they're with that guy, they end up thinking to themselves, okay, am I safe with this guy? Or is he just going to come home one night drunk and slap us all around? And even though they can be manipulated into a relationship with that guy, if they're a weak-willed woman or a woman with low self-esteem, they're usually living a life of fear, and that's a life that's a life half-lived, as someone very wise but anonymous once said. So when a woman is in fear of that guy she's with, then, you know, she's not going to be very happy, and that's not a really good manifestation of masculinity. That masculinity that women are looking for is actually that masculinity that creates the environment out of pure leadership that I was talking about, that atmosphere of safety, that atmosphere of having a plan, that she can kind of hitch her wagon to this guy and know that the future is going to look bright, and at least that she's got something exciting ahead of her in the terms that the guy is leading her in.
Right. So kind of along the same token of, obviously, like you were saying, we've kind of got the physical aspects locked down with Adonis, and that's good. But we've talked about this before, but you've likened masculinity and femininity. You went to a yin, kind of a yin and yang thing right then. Talk about a little bit how you can actually get this farther apart. So the more masculine you are, the more feminine she's going to be, and actually how you can influence that. So that you can actually start to, like I say, we're saying sex is a weapon, but you can actually use your masculinity to influence getting more sex, obviously.
Well, that's a huge question, and I think I'm going to tackle it from two different directions. First of all, how can you be more masculine and therefore get more feminine women? And I think that is kind of assuming a point that sometimes is often overlooked, that the more masculine you are, the more femininity you draw. There's a lot of talk and in turn, actually a lot of action in this culture designed to make everybody more neuter, you know? If you think about it, women are trying to be more masculine. They're trying to be tougher. They're trying to be more involved in the workplace, be more power brokers, trying to carry masculine traits, saying, you know, we should be paid as much, which they absolutely should. But as far as becoming those things that are characteristically masculine, women are trying to do that more. You know, they're saying, you know, we should be allowed in the military, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, there's no value judgment placed on that. That is what it is. That's the way it's going right now. Men, on the other hand, are being told that, you know, masculinity is oppressive and they need to soften their demeanor. They need to yield to women more. I think just about everybody in the seduction community, everybody who has their head screwed on straight in terms of talking about how men can attract women better, are talking about this whole concept of men being kiss-ups and being wusses and stuff like that from David D'Angelo on down. So as far as that goes, see, men are becoming more feminine. They're being told to get in touch with their feminine side. They're being erroneously told that only women are emotional and men are logical. And I don't think women are necessarily illogical, you know, devoid of logic. And I don't think men, of course, are devoid of emotion. All you have to do is talk to some adrenaline junkie who likes to surf 20-foot waves, or anybody who's a football fan on Super Bowl day when their team's in the game, and you're going to see a guy who has some emotion. But we're not walking around like Mr. Spock from Star Trek. We're just not like that. But the truth of the matter is, women are being told that they need to be more masculine and that femininity is weak and that femininity is not going to help them reach their goals, or what they're being told should be their real goals in life. Whereas men are being told their masculinity is bad, that it's oppressive, and they should be more like women. So where do we get off telling guys that they should be more like women and get off telling women that they should be more like men? That is creating neuter people. That is creating women who are more like men and men who are more like women. How are these people supposed to be attracted sexually to each other? If you put two neuter creatures in a room, there is going to be no sexual attraction by design. Masculinity and femininity is what it is. We didn't really design it, if you get right down to it. If you go to any other culture in the world, women are still feminine and men are still masculine. So that's a myth that this is all man-made. It is in the hard wiring of the men and women of the world. And when we act on it in a natural way, natural masculinity attracts natural femininity, and that's the way it should be.
Gotcha. So basically what you're saying is that the more masculine you are and can become, and this is through leadership and other traits that we're getting ready to discuss, then naturally you're just going to attract more women and actually more feminine women. And thus from that, there'll be more chemistry and sparks, I guess you could say, because you're moving farther apart from each other as far as on the scale,
right?
Which is a better attraction.
Yes,
correct.
And those women out there who are saying that men need to yield to women and become more feminine, famously, some women say, you know, what women really want is a woman with a penis. Well, those are in the minority. Those women are very much in the minority. Often they're rather masculine women. And guys, I'm telling you, if you are unashamed to be masculine, if you can relax in the notion that masculinity is going to attract more women, and more specifically, more of the kind of women we usually want as guys, then you are going to start attracting women. And see, that is where we stop listening to this silent minority, this minority that's actually very vocal, and start listening to our own soul, listening to our own heart and our mind that says, wait a minute, this is crazy. I was born to be a man. There's nothing wrong with the way I'm designed. And see, here's the irony of the whole thing, Brad. You're talking about, you know, the second part of your question earlier was, how do we actually use this to our advantage as men in terms of getting our power back in terms of women? Well, see, we've been told to yield to women and to be kind of softer. And what women really want is that guy who takes the lead, the guy I call the leading man, who can manage a relationship, who can free up a woman not to be afraid for the future or be afraid even for her own physical safety when he's around. If we can just trust that how we're hardwired, how we're designed is the way it's supposed to be, things are going to get a lot easier for us. And here's the funny thing. If we stopped thinking about how to not be what we were designed to be and just more freed up to be that guy, it would actually feel very natural for most men. This is how we're designed. This is what we were born to be. We were born to be men, yet we spend our entire adolescence, even as far back as our childhood, through our young adulthood, trying to unwire and diffuse what we've been told was wrong, when in reality, how we were and how we should be is quite all right to most women. It's so ironic, but it is very true. If we just relax and get rid of the guilt associated with being a man, we will be more successful with women almost immediately.
Right. Well, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you really think about it, people in general don't like to lead, number one. Most people are sheep, and that's men especially. And I've found, actually, that it's a lot less stressful if you just go ahead and make a call.
Yes, absolutely.
If you just decide to do something, say, all right, this is what we're going to do, and you just do it.
That's right.
It's a lot less stressful. It's actually kind of liberating. And, you know, I guess from what you're saying, and I know this to be true for myself, that because of this, I mean, if you just go down the path of least resistance instead of fighting and trying to be PC about things, if you just be fine with being a man and making decisions and doing those things, you're going to be a lot better off. So I guess one of the things I know people are thinking right now, but what are some traits that we're looking for right now? I mean, what are masculine traits that aren't, you know, the whole, you know, Billy Badass, you know, I'm an ass kicker type of guy, you know, that I know people out there are thinking, how can I be a man without, you know, what's masculinity really mean? What are the traits that we're looking for?
Well, okay. I mean, obviously we're not looking at WWE here for masculinity. You know, that's right. For entertainment purposes only. So it's a great question. What are you left with? Well, I think, you know, even when you look at some movies, especially the movies that are ironically enough designed for women, you find guys in those movies who aren't these soft, yielding, pretty boy, wussy boy types, but they're actually real men, especially when you go back in time and you look at some of the Cary Grants of the world, you know, some of the Gregory Pecks of the world in Roman Holiday, one of my favorites. And you watch how these guys act. They have a certain class. They have a certain level of character. In their demeanor is strong judgment, strong integrity, leadership ability, decision-making power, wisdom based on having viewed the world from a position of effectiveness for years and made the right decisions, knowing how to make more effective decisions more quickly in the future. Not freaking out, not being afraid of petty things, not living a life of fear, but being the calming influence. The guy who is the go-to guy in the entire family when the chips are down, like when, you know, someone's in the hospital and they need to make decisions, or when there's a crisis situation that affects an entire family, the go-to guy is often the most naturally masculine guy in the family also.
Hmm. Interesting.
And the traits that I just mentioned are actually more cognitive than physical. They're more personality-based. They're more in terms of inner game than outer game. Now, the manifestation of that, of course, is in your lower voice, a slower manner of speech, because what does that do? That demonstrates to a woman that you've got things under control, that you've got things handled. If your life is spinning out of control, if someone asks you what you want to be when you grow up and you go, I don't know, I just live in my mom's basement and I'm waiting, that is not masculine. That's passive. Whereas a masculine human being is active. I mean, you can even go down to, I mean, I don't know if this is going to be something that's immediately resonant with everybody in the audience, but if you go down to the sex act itself, you know, the male sexual being is the active member, and the female human being is the passive member. You know, the man is penetrating, the woman is receiving. That is actually a metaphor for the male-female relationship in general.
Interesting.
And, you know, that may not be something that registers for people as they think about it, but if you think about it more and you think about the imagery associated with it, you're going to realize, you know, they call in the electrical world, they call the plug the male part, and they call the receptacle the female part.
Sure.
The male part is taking the lead. The female part needs to be, well, plugged in, right?
Right.
But then the female part is what provides the power, even in the electrical world. So in other words, once the energy gets flowing, it's because the man took action, but he ignited the feminine energy. Now, that is really an out-there analysis, and I'm coming up with it on the spot. But the more I'm thinking about it as we have this conversation, Brad, the more it rings true.
Sure.
That is a perfect metaphor for how masculinity and femininity work. I think it's when people try to fight something that isn't broken. They're trying to fix something that isn't broken. They're trying to fight a system that isn't really flawed. That's when we get into a lot of trouble.
Right. You know, it's really funny. You mentioned that about igniting the feminine energy and you know, the male plugging in.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really, a lot of the old school books, I mean, even like Think and Grow Rich, I mean, they talk like that a lot of men, especially people like Abe Lincoln, people like that, they really never become really successful until they have a great woman behind them. Now, I'm not saying this is always the case, but you could kind of go in that regard too, where getting more masculine is going to help you find that great woman to plug into, who's going to actually support and infuse your life with even more than you can bring about yourself.
Yes, very few world leaders, and I think only one United States president has ever been single.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Interesting. So, along another note, we were kind of talking about this earlier, and you mentioned something about people or men, you know, when there are a lot of women chasing a certain man. You know where I'm going. Kind of explain that a little bit. We kind of got into it a little bit, but I really wanted to talk about it while we're here on the air.
Well, I think one of the biggest fallacies that is propagated around the world of men's dating and seduction advice. And as a matter of fact, Brad, this is how I measure whether someone has real game or not when they're a teacher. You ready for this?
Sure.
Do you believe that women are the choosers and men are the chasers? In other words, women can have sex whenever they want. Men have to go grovel to these women and ask them out and suffer rejection. And meanwhile, the women are just kind of, I don't know, whimsically saying, yeah, you're okay. Maybe you'll get a first date. You're never going to get anywhere with me. You, I like you, but, you know, you better buy me some stuff or whatever. If you have that view of men versus women, then you do not have control over your dating life. You are not exercising maximum masculinity in your life. And really, you're misunderstanding how women are wired. Women do not want to be the choosers. I'll say that again. Women don't want it. They do not want to be the choosers. They want men to take the lead. But guys are saying to themselves, well, you know, how in the world? It just doesn't make any sense. Women aren't really attacking all these guys unless they're, you know, famous and have lots of money or something. Women aren't just going to be sexually attacking guys, grabbing them by the hair and dragging them into their lair and pounding their brains out. Well, of course not. But see, that doesn't obviate the discussion. That doesn't render everything we're talking about here untrue. You've got to understand that women are wired differently. Men absolutely positively not only can be the choosers, they must be the choosers. For if a man is chasing a woman's sexuality, he is not going to have the social proof in a woman's eyes that allows her to feel comfortable and therefore safe with the fact that he's leading, right?
Right.
Therefore, that'll translate all the way out. And I mean, it'll actually transmute into her thinking, this guy can't provide a future for me. The fact that he's chasing me and lowering his status just to try to get in my pants says to me, this guy, first of all, doesn't care about me. He's not going to provide a safe environment for me to thrive because he's always going to be after what he wants. Second of all, I just don't see where this guy's got a long-term plan. I don't see how he makes me feel safe. I feel kind of creeped out already. That's how that looks. But when a man can say to himself, okay, let me step off for a second from being so horny and say, what is it that represents to a woman the pinnacle of manhood? What is it that she wants? And the man can become that man who represents that. That's when everything changes. Now, granted, at the beginning, a man must just simply believe it's going to be so, and there has to be just a little bit of blind trust there, okay? He has to fly by faith there for a while, because it isn't going to be reality the second he decides to be this guy who's going to look at things from the different perspective that I'm talking about. But once he can relax and say, okay, you know what? I'm going to stop trying to get what I want off of women. You know, like we talked about in seventh grade, you know, what'd you get off her, dude? You know, when you go high with some chick behind the stadium or something, right?
Right.
We should be a little bit more evolved than that. And here's what it is. Women are absolutely the chasers of men who can provide them that safety, that can give them that trustworthy environment, and can make them feel safe in a committed relationship. Think about it. Women who are selfish, women who do not care what the man in their life wants, are doing what? They're trying to lock him into a relationship, getting him to put a ring on her finger before they've even dated 3 or 4 weeks. How does that come off to a guy? Well, of course, it comes off kind of desperate and like, well, you know what? Maybe I should bail out of this relationship because she's just a little too pushy. Well, when a guy meets a woman, he's like, oh my gosh, I would do anything to get that chick naked. She's already thinking, okay, well, you know what? Maybe I can do a little bit better than this guy.
Yep.
Whoever wants the relationship least, let me rephrase that. Whoever needs the relationship, whoever is least desperate, is the one in control of where that relationship's going. So how do you pull this off? First of all, you are a man who believes you have options. You don't say, wow, there is the chick who actually likes me back. I mean, I've been rejected by 100 women in a row. Now here's a woman who actually likes me. Man, I better make sure she doesn't get loose. I better make sure I lock her down, right?
Right.
So you become almost the guy in the feminine role trying to get safety and security from the woman, and it's a turnoff. And you chasing and trying to get what you want because you're so desperate is going to kill that feeling in the woman that she should want you. Meanwhile, if you're a guy and you said, okay, you know what? I met 4 or 5 women today. I got 3 phone numbers or whatever, and they all kind of liked me. I have more than one woman in my life to go out with. And this may not be reality for you yet as a man listening to this, but it could be. And you need to believe that it is already. It's almost like you mentioned Napoleon Hill, think and grow rich. You think like a millionaire before you actually become a millionaire. And some people call that kind of a woo-woo, kind of the secret kind of thing. I just think it's common sense. If you don't believe you're going to get something in life, if you don't believe you're going to accomplish, no one else is going to help you get there because they're all in their own world. But if you're listening to a woman, if you're saying, okay, what is it that these women want? And you say, well, a woman wants safety. A woman wants security. A woman wants a man who's worthy of commitment. Then you become that man who represents that. Women will recognize that, and they will want you in their life. And they may want you in their life forever. Does this mean you have to commit to the first woman who's attracted to you? Absolutely not. And let me give you a valid analogy. Think of the woman who is so hot sexually that guys are literally falling all over themselves for. I mean, you know, she causes accidents when she walks down the street, right? Does she have to have sex with every man who's attracted to her? I mean, you know, every woman too, because, you know.
I was going to say, yeah, every woman, definitely. We're in.
I would be all over that too, actually. But I mean, you know, there's some women I've gone out with that the women flirt with her more than they flirt with me, you know, because she's just so hot, right?
Right.
And, you know, that's amazing to watch. But when a woman is that attractive, she has a lot of control because she represents what men selfishly want. But she doesn't have to give any of those guys what they want. She's under no obligation. So if you're this guy who's masculine and can provide this level of safety in a woman's life, yes, you are going to attract more women. And you're going to attract higher quality and more feminine women too, by the way. But you do not have to commit to any of them until you're good and ready someday. But the caveat there, see, is you have the option. The options are yours. You hold all the cards. Just like that woman can decide what guy she wants, what guy she doesn't want. I'll bet you my bottom dollar. I got $1,000 that says even the woman who stops traffic is going to choose a man who has options and can make her feel safe and represents to her what a solid future looks like. Now, just like guys, we can go through stages where we just want someone to play with for a while. But ultimately, when you have a great woman who understands the nature of male-female relationships, does not have a jaded view towards all men being dogs or whatever, then you're dealing with a woman who still wants that from a guy, no matter how beautiful she is. If the guy takes the lead and says to that woman, okay, I may have options in my life, but I would like for you to be a part of my reality, and he evaluates her, he is still the decision maker. He's still the chooser.
So I guess the moral of the story about all of this is that bums don't eat caviar.
That is very, very true.
You know, if you're begging, beggars never get to eat the caviar.
Well, beggars can't be choosers.
True.
That saying's as old as it gets. Are you begging for women? Are you begging women for sex? Then no wonder you think all the women are the choosers and you're chasing. Because beggars can't be choosers, by definition.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the truth. I was just thinking about it as you were talking. I was getting mental pictures. I was like, well, it seems like most guys are being represented like a bum, pretty much. I mean, that's yeah. Pretty extreme, but you're sitting, and I say this because I drive by these guys every day. You know, I'm driving by and they're sitting there holding their can out like, please give me, please give me, please give me. You know, and then I'm sitting there, I just got out of a restaurant where I ate exactly what I wanted, and I'm driving by, and there's just a definitive difference in mindset at the time, you know. So where he's begging for his food and I'm eating well. So, and like I say, it's probably a little bit of a rough analogy, but it's still a pretty good one.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But you can see the difference there. You can see how when a man is begging, he's not going to get what he wants because he is really so concerned with getting his own needs met that he can't even look further than 6 inches away from his face.
Right.
Whereas the guy who's more evolved and has options can see the forest for the trees and start understanding what women are going to want, meet those needs in the woman, and then get what he wants in return because, wait for it, leadership. Women follow a man's lead. So if a guy is representing to a woman what she wants and can make that woman feel the way she wants to be made to be felt by a man, then she will, assuming she's a great woman and she's not broken and really, really selfish or something, she will be more glad to give a man what he wants in return. One of those things being a great sex life.
Yeah, awesome. So we've nailed it on the head. I mean, that just another part of how men can use sex as a weapon to get what they want in life. Just one more key. We've got the physique. Now that we've got masculinity involved, we're going to be adding some more pieces as we move along. We're about 30 minutes into it now, so probably going to cut it off right now. But we're going to have Scott back on the show probably in the next, you know, 2-3 weeks. You know, you guys send in questions. We'll get you some answers. We'll read them out. We'll get him to answer them for you. You got anything else, Scott, right off the bat?
Well, you know, you were talking about using sex as a weapon. I don't know if I would actually use those terms, but I can say that the guy can be the one in control holding all the cards. I would say kind of the icing on this cake is the more power you have sexually as a man. Well, let's put it this way. The amount of power you have sexually as a man is directly tied to how many women can't have you. And let me qualify that just a little before you close. Women who are married and absolutely hot are the most desirable women because guys just can't have them. We go nuts to try to get what we can't have. You know, Paul Newman just passed away. Paul Newman was one of the most attractive men to women in Hollywood history. He was also married to the same woman for 50 years, and by most accounts, or all accounts I've ever seen, never cheated on her, had a very faithful family man kind of relationship with Joanne Woodward.
Right.
That probably just made him all the more desirable to women everywhere. Because he wasn't an IJ, he wasn't an idiot jerk. The more women in your life, the higher you've raised the bar, the higher your standards are, the more easier for you it is to say no to women who are just average. To say, hey, you know what, I'll be real nice to you, but you know, I don't really want to go on a date with you. The higher you've raised the bar in your life, the more power you have. That's why when you have a girlfriend, more women are attracted to you. That's why when you're married, all of a sudden these women come out of the woodwork, which of course makes it all the more, you know, imperative that you make the right decision before you get married. But right. I think that's something I wanted to leave guys with, because it isn't like a binary switch. It isn't on or off. But your power as a man and your ability to choose as opposed to being the chaser. Yeah, I mean, you can have this epiphany going, hey, you know what? I can choose instead of chasing. But from there, it can build as you raise the bar of the quality of women in your life. Make no mistake.
Yeah, awesome. And you know what? This is going to segue into the next show that you and I do together.
Cool.
Because we're going to definitely need to distinguish between raising the bar and men being conceited. And we'll kind of leave it at that so people come back and get that, because I think that opens up a whole different realm of thinking for a lot of men as well. Don't you agree?
Yeah, sounds like a good topic. Very
cool,
much so.
Man. Well, guys, you've got it. One more thing. Scott's got an awesome program, The Leading Man. If you want to go check that out, go to adonislifestyle.com/leadingman. And you'll be forwarded right on over. And like I say, go check that out. It's a money program. You'll get a lot of good advice, just like you've gotten right now, plus tons of more stuff. So if you think the free stuff is good, wait till you see what this is. So for Scott, and I'm Brad, come back, check us out, Adonis Lifestyle, and we'll talk to you later.
Be good, guys.
All right, sweet, dude. That was good, dude.